Now that we've celebrated the octave of Easter, and every day been presented with another presentation, another manifestation of Jesus, we settle down now to get ready for Pentecost. And we do it by, in Acts, going on with what we've been doing so far, just the life of Christ in the church. That's what Acts is. The idea is called the praxiston apostolon, the Acts, the life and mission and activities of the great ones in the world were called the Acts of Plutarch, the Acts of... So it got to be the Acts of the Apostles. But as I've said before, this is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we go on continuing where we've been. In the Gospel, we start something new. We are going now to treat of baptism and the Eucharist. And then move on. And then finally, toward the end, listen to our Lord's teaching in the five paraclete promises. And that's to get ready for this abiding grace of Pentecost. This abiding grace. So today we begin. This is chapter 3. Chapter 2, our Lord goes down to Jerusalem and cleanses the temple. And then in chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to him. Probably this is the famous Nakdimon, a great wealthy ruler and devout man, about whom we know there's several of them. He comes and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." That's nice in a way, but it's also pretty arrogant. They've already classified him. He's a nice teacher from God. No, he's not. He's the incarnate Word of God. And so he's being nice, and the reason why he's acknowledging that is because no one can do the signs that you are doing unless God is with him. Now you notice, our Lord in his love does not say, "I thank you very much for the recognition," and he starts right away. Unless someone is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's trying to get Nicodemus from this level to the level of reality. And he just starts. This is the way John always often recoils these conversations, you see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot experience the role, the rule of God the Father in his life and in his world. That's the kingdom of God. It's the kingship of God. And so, born from above, another source of life, a new source of life, different. This is the greatest challenge in human history. It began with creation, but in a particular way with the call of Abraham. God, the Almighty God, said to one human being, "I want you to do this." And that explodes the whole closed system, which has dominated thought and redominates thought today. Yes, if you want to be devout, that's fine. But what rules the world is science. The idea that God can butt into this world, you see. Even the word we use, intervention. God doesn't have to intervene. It's his world. We don't have a nice little closed system down here that we can operate fine and God is invited in once in a while. God is God. And so Jesus, in his love, just tries to break all that. You need new life. You have to be born from above, or you cannot see the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God. You can't see it. Nicodemus, either to ply him, I don't think it's sarcastic, how can a man grown old be born again? How can I repeat this one natural occurrence? The reason they can do this with this word in Greek, the word Anna happens to mean like Anabaptist, baptized again, you see, but also it means from above. And so there's a play. And it means both. We have to be born again and we have to be born from above. And so he cannot re-enter his mother's womb. Jesus answered. And now we have the first teaching on baptism. Open up your heart and try to realize the momentousness of this gift of baptism. We go watch a little baby get baptized, we have a party, we go home. Unless someone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This new birth takes place at baptism. Well, that's nice, it's a nice ceremony. We call it a christening, you know. He's going to be called after his Uncle Joe. And no, it's only when you see an adult come. I've been living 42 years as a businessman, and now I know I have to be born from above. If I want to be eternal, I have to have eternal life. And that comes through faith and baptism. We just had, I don't know how many thousand people baptized. And they are given a new and divine life. God starts to dwell in them. It's amazing, isn't it? We get all used to these things. And, he was baptized, nice. That meant divine life took over this person. They are now eternal. Our Lord goes on. What is born of flesh, what is born of human effort, is flesh. See, what is born of spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I told you you must be born from above. Search to try to find out what I mean by that. Born from above, given an entirely new life, an eternal life, that one day will absolutely transform you, not just spiritually, physically. Forever. You are born above. You have now a completely new and divine life. And then our Lord gives this little parable to try to help us understand the uncontrollability of the Spirit of God. I've decided to be baptized. No, you haven't. God Himself has moved you beyond your consciousness even to come to this new ontological change in your being. Discipleship is not that we choose Jesus, right? It's that He chooses us. That's what we're doing in this chapel. You don't know where the wind, you can't control the wind. You don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it goes. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Their life is moved by another power. Their life is moved by another force, who is eternal, who is actually divine. And so, John of the Cross, speaking of that line in Paul, unless, you know, all those who are led by the Spirit, you see, are children of God. Notice he doesn't say all those who possess the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit. John of the Cross describes what that is like in its mature form. Every movement of emotion, body, mind, memory, and spirit is under the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's someone led by the Holy Spirit. It's a total transformation, even in this life. Who gets there? I guess everybody who accepts the invitation. But it's a demanding invitation. Just read their lives. You see, our whole life is from below. Our judgments are from below. The most important thing today for us, I'm sarcastic now, is the stock market. Is it really? See, our preoccupations are from below. How can we ever get to be realists and live by the Holy Spirit? So that's the way the church gets us ready now. Get ready. We're going to have, you know, 40 days, 42 days, I guess, of this, getting ready. By understanding the sacraments. They are physical realities that mediate divine life.